Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we are rounding out a great conversation to be had today from many leading up conversations, and we are live back in Studio Art of Construction today that we've been out and about with our good friend Robbie Schwartz at BS and Beer, and this is our fourth and final episode on our deep dive series where we're coming together and collaborating and continuing to put the who and the what through the art of construction together and the community involvement around that. Going all the way back to the beginning of this journey, episode one is where I interviewed Robbie and learned all about the Build Tank, Build Cast platform. And Robbie, it's been an honor to have you as a co-host and also on the other episodes where we went back and talked about where you kind of train the trainer, flip the trainer, put all these communities and platforms together. It's been a great journey. We also have dipped our toes in the water with different master facilitators along the way. Part two was all about Energize Denver. And I think Colorado is a great place to be talking about how to move innovation forward, where we talked about Energize Denver with Bryce Ballou and also the hat that he wears where we meet up at his facility at Tradecraft. So this journey we've been on is really trying to understand how do we put the who and the what in these communities together. And then we had a live podcast at that event where Sean was in the audience. And I was really kind of, as I was organically putting this all together, Robbie and I did the live podcast and we reversed some roles and had as much fun as possible at the local chapter of BS and Beer. And here we are now to close this whole thing out, episode four of this deep dive series, and putting the whole AOC master facilitator and these alignments together and start talking about the riches and the niches that we always talk about on the podcast. And today, the big company or platform is Mitsubishi, but we get to have Sean Lamons, who is an amazing local expert and is very tied into these different platforms. And I'm going to start this up and then pass the baton to you, Robbie. Is the main message that I want to convey to you, Tribe, is that how do we really talk about moving this industry forward around heating and cooling system built structures? I think it's a very important topic of figuring out how do we meet municipalities and companies and people where they are. And how does this benefit you is that we must continue to innovate. And the thing that I was on a call this morning with the Housing Innovation Alliance, one of the great platforms we're aligned with, and we're restructuring, figuring out how to best have these events. And what I mean by that is Dennis, who runs that, talks about how you cannot innovate alone. And it's really hard to innovate with others, too, because a group of innovators always want to be doing and trying different things, right? But we must innovate, and we cannot do it alone. But the riches are in the niches. And Sean Lamons is who I really pinpointed, and we're going to talk about why around heating and cooling system built structures. And this podcast is going to be launched on multiple platforms, and we all have our ways of doing this. And Robbie, it's been a great journey learning from each other and kind of reverse mentoring each other about the Build Tank, Build Cast, your platform, and asking each other questions about how we can be the go-givers and get what we want out of this with the AOC Master Facilitators. And at the end of the day, all coming together and really excited to announce this one innovation community coming together through AOC and the BuildCast platforms. And this is also going to get launched on your platform. So anything else you want to add to that, Robbie?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity to work with you. It's been a great experience. And yeah, I think it will be great to listen to it on both platforms.
Awesome. So my perspectives, building science and partners are not a one sentence handoff. Robbie and Sean get that and why they are leaders of the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. So Robbie, I'm going to pass the baton to you. Let's get the speed round, get to know Sean, his favorite beverage, and have as much fun as possible. Here we go.
Yeah. So Sean, what is your favorite beverage?
You know, I was thinking about this. I know I'm a beer drinker. I like some of the hard liquors as well. But my favorite that I just enjoy is a fresh glass of passion fruit juice. I spent some time in Hawaii when I was a kid, running around in the jungle barefoot. And there's something about just fresh juice that way. And if you can get your hands on it, it's amazing.
Sounds great. I have to try it. So that means that you've spent some time in Hawaii, but what is your favorite place that you've traveled?
The next place for sure. I know that's a canned answer, but, actually my wife and I are looking at, spending some time in Portugal and that kind of thing. And we just talked to our daughter last night. We'll always support all of our kids, to travel and explore as much as possible.
Totally. Great. And so our last question, what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena?
I do my hobby every day. Really, this is it. It came up at construction instruction one time. You know, what do you like to do? What's your hobby? I'm like, I spend my time on the weekends looking at data sets on my house and other houses and how heat pumps perform and how the building shell interfaces with the heating system. So, yeah, it's very geeky. But I just really enjoy it. I found my sandbox.
That's awesome. Great. So as we begin here, let's learn a little bit more about you. So Sean, what's your story and what led you to be the performance construction manager for Mitsubishi?
Yeah, I've been with Mitsubishi for a little over 5 years now. And before that, I was a HERS rater and I would call it a technical director for HERS rating firm down in Arizona, looking at a lot of production. Before that, I was here in Colorado as well, looking at sort of custom projects, bespoke, very fancy boutique HERS rating firm there. Did a lot of HVAC, mechanical design, manual JSD work, etc. Before that, I was an envelope guy as an energy auditor and I don't know if you know what it is, smart regs up in Boulder, yes. Robbie. Yeah, did a lot of that. And I got started back with ARRA funding back in 2008, 2009, and just really found the topics interesting, found the opportunity with a couple firms back in the day and grew my career within the industry.
Yeah. So the one place where our funds actually succeeded to create something that lasted into the future.
I know you and I disagree on this. I think our had longstanding benefits, but I also understand the challenges.
Well, I'm loving to hear where this is going. We're hearing some disagreements, but things that work and innovators coming together in this space.
For right? sure.
Robbie, can you, if others didn't listen to the first three episodes yet, I know they're going to go back after they hear this and hear them all, but if they didn't listen, can you touch base on the Pragmatic Building Think Tank?
Yeah. So the Pragmatic Building Think Tank or Build Tank is my company that I created after leaving, helping to build one of the larger energy rating companies on the Front Range here. And like I said earlier, it's really a platform for me to be able to do what I want to do, which is try to get involved in projects that I think will help move our industry forward to take sustainable, resilient, and efficient construction into kind of mainstream construction.
I love how you kind of tongue-in-cheek say, I built a thing to do what I want to do. But as I've got to know Robbie and Sean and people in the industry, I just call Robbie and he can help me find the answer. And he's so integral in the community because you've been able to have that kind of freedom to be able to do that. And I think that's really important for us to recognize and to kind of begin with the end in mind as we were teeing up to record this. One of our newer AOC master facilitators, Ian, introduced and he's shadowing us today. And we were talking about how do you do everything in one day, right? And you know, relationships are earned, not given. But once you get to a point where Robbie and Sean, like you have those platforms, you can't be everywhere at once, but you have to figure out how to be able to pick up the phone and answer the question. If you don't know, how do you pass that on? And that whole thing is about different platforms coming together. I think about so many different events as I really think we're starting to really see the change of how do you transfer passion, enthusiasm, and knowledge in this new world of, do you go to these events? Do you just log into the screen? Do you watch a webinar? Do you just look at social media? There's so much noise, but these legacy events are hard to keep going, right? And there's this big paradigm shift. And I've been on a quest now, started in 2014. So we're 10 years into this quest of just putting platforms together. And that's why I was so passionate and about my two words are passion and partnerships. And those are hard to do, right? And I genuinely appreciate you both being here to talk about that. And this is going to be on my baby, the art of construction, and the people, the who and the what, the AOC master facilitators, however we come together in the community, but also different building tanks to put that together. So I'm super excited for to be the host and the co-host and the co-host and the host of really having these platforms coming together, of having this to say, I'm honored to say this is being released on the Build Tank, Buildcast, and brought to you through our friends at BS and Beer. Maybe the same a little bit for you, Robbie?
Yeah, I think so. You know, BS and Beer has been a great national platform that was created primarily out in Maine. And they got the ear of Taunton Press, Fine Home Building Magazine, and kind of created a national platform during the pandemic. And they really opened it up and were inviting people to create satellite groups to have building science discussions over a beer and some pizza, maybe. And so the Denver Metro BS and Beer group started. And luckily I was there to help start it there. And I think one of the interesting things that you talk about is really trying to understand your notion of what a platform is. Mm. So I've struggled with that a little bit in our discussions, because I don't think of Build Tank as a platform. I think it as my company, you know, but I'm starting to understand more and more what you mean about that. So maybe you can describe to us a little bit more what you mean about the art of construction as a platform, but specifically, really, what are you trying to get at with the master facilitator community and this platform you've created?
You know, I love when Robbie listens and circles it back, right? Because words do matter, right? And stuff that comes out of your mouth may be more of an emotion than what you're actually trying to articulate. And I talk about the AOC master facilitator community. And what I'm trying to get out of that is just be another place to say, okay, I've met them on LinkedIn, or I did a project that didn't go so well. How do I go and build it better the next time? And then it's like, well, to build it better the next time, you know what you actually have to have done before you do that? You have to have built something.
Okay.
And this industry is full of, I talk about Krusty Contractor, the unicorns who have talked a lot about it, but how much have they actually built? And so the AOC Master Facilitator community is for people who have actually, the term that a lot of the other AOC Master Facilitators say is, I grew up in the industry. I was mentored underneath ABCD. I learned how to do this as a HERS rater to then find this product to do this. Well, that takes some time. Mm-hmm. And then how do you put those lessons learned and put them together? And that's where I'm super excited to train the trainer, or be the one, whatever you want to call it, on the pedestal leading the community, but really here to say, I'm so jazzed to get a lot of reverse mentorship. And I give a shout out to people like Ian, who is here working on his business, but also working on the bigger community. And that's what the Art of Construction Master Facilitator community is all about. It's not about go buy from Devin. Mm-hmm. It's about how do we collaborate together and be innovators together? Because we have to do that, in my opinion. So that's what I mean by the AOC Master Facilitator community. But Robbie, I genuinely appreciate you saying, I see platforms different than you. And I think that's a really important thing. We're going to talk about, does everybody see heat pumps the same way? Most people don't even know what the heck it really is when you actually start unpacking it. And that's what we're going to start.
Until you reframe it and they're like, oh, okay.
So that's the journey we're going to go on today, of like finding out how to take a deep dive from a larger community. And that's what the Art of Construction is really taking. And it really boiled down to when we got, there's a lot of people that listen to the podcast, but they just listen and move on. And this is that place to say, okay, come get involved. If you're in Denver, come to BS and Beer. If you're in Maine, come to BS and Beer. If you're at International Builder Show in Vegas, come to BS and Beer. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'm articulating to be a leader of the tribe for BS and Beer through a bigger community that I'm trying to tie all that stuff together. Does that make sense, Robbie?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's really that community involvement and getting people involved and kind of going in a similar direction.
And I before we go into this, I didn't pre-program this all. I want to put Robbie on the spot for him to recap this one more time, because we all take stuff in differently. And this is kind of that last chance to begin with the end in mind of this four-part series. So can you run through it in your own words, what we led up to this? I teed it up my way. Co-host, run it back one more time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It was a great opportunity to collaborate with Devin and the Art of Construction to do a series of four podcasts. The beginning one was Devin interviewing me and learning more about me and my company, Built Tank, and the Practical Building Think Tank, and my what I guess what I would call my platform as trying to get stuff out there through the Buildcast. And now I have Buildcast Focused, which is an interesting little 5-minute endeavors to get things out in very short, concise way. Because we spend a lot of time going to conferences and doing other things and talking to people and have very short, meaningful conversations. And some of those I think would be interesting to people. So that's a new part of the Buildcast that's going out there. Then we spoke with Bryce Ballou, who is the founder of Tradecraft. And Tradecraft is a great organization. It's a co-working space dedicated to the construction industry. I used to office out of there. And when I was searching for a place to actually host BS & Beer Denver Metro chapter, I turned to Bryce, and he graciously welcomed us to his community there. But he's doing some interesting things beyond just Tradecraft. There he's working with the Energize Denver program with an engineering company to really improve the efficiency of large commercial buildings in the Denver metro area there. And then we took the BS and Beer. I'm sorry. We took the Art of Construction podcast and our collaboration to BS and Beer, and we did a live show, which was great. A great way to end the year of our first full year of BS & Beer Metro Denver. We generally meet on the third Tuesday of every month, which is coming up here in February 20th. And we did a live podcast. We learned more about Mountain View Windows. We learned more about the Art of Construction. We threw in some building science in there as well, as we always want to do. And then we're ending it today with our discussion with Sean Lamons, who is knows everything of heat pumps.
I don't know about everything.
And
I just like to talk about them.
Yeah, and this whole move towards electrification. So it's been a great ride.
Yeah, so I want to share a story of, like, I've had the pleasure of going to the last four of Robbie's meetups. And at the last one, Robbie got the different municipalities, the different lead inspectors, right?
They're the chief building officials.
The chief building officials for Boulder and Broomfield and Denver, and
it's a great meeting,
all coming together. And I went there more jaded, I think, than I should have, thinking they're just going to kind of put up a wall. And it was actually the total opposite. And I really commend them for taking an evening to talk about, say, hey, our job is to enforce what comes down, and hey, get involved and help. And it was really like eye opening for me. But me as a window and door geek, I couldn't help myself but kind of ask some questions to say, you don't know what you don't know in your jade by what you think of my trust advisors day to day in windows and doors, but how window and door speak we get to then where the enforcement and how the line is passed. The other part of that really got me thinking was, it was really all about electrification. And they were talking about how the product and the design, about how much power you need to put into that. Or also, I'm working on pre-interviews with Enrico from EMU, where he talks about how it takes more power to run two electric cars for a house than the whole rest of the house. And like putting these perspectives of how much power do you need in this electrification movement. And they were talking about how the testing and all the stuff is showing you got to put a 400 amp panel and all this stuff that you have to do. And Sean was in the corner listening to all this stuff. And when we got to Q&A, he gave an example of, from his hobby of living at home, saying, I live in a house with this, with this, with this, and I can prove to you that 100 amp panel. How much power, Sean, do you need to go all electric in a standard home?
Well, define a standard home first, right? But let's just say, let's call it 2,000 square feet, right? It's a reasonable average between older homes and newer homes, right? And there's a lot of homes out there from the 70s, 80s, 90s that have a 100 amp panel, possibly less, maybe a little bit more. Mine is a mid-90s builder grade nightmare, right? And I've upgraded insulation, air sealing, and I did my windows going on 5 or 10 years ago now, right? Nothing fancy, Energy Star window. And so I sort of put my house on an energy diet, if you will. But
energy diet,
right? Now I went after it to be more comfortable. I went after it to be more efficient and walk my talk. But now that I'm looking at all electrification in that house, so it's appliances, it's LED bulbs, which is pretty much all you can buy these days, Energy Star appliances, and a heat pump and an EV. And I've monitored the data on my breaker panel. I'm using an Emporia View 2 system. And I've pulled down a year's worth of 15-minute data. And the absolute highest amp draw is 59 amps on a 100-amp panel. The absolute worst 15 minutes in an entire year was 49 amps. So,
and how many square foot is your home again?
1,700 square feet, four people.
1,700 and four people. Yep. So pretty standard.
And one EV. Yep, exactly. So, and when you start to look at it, I don't even charge the EV. So 40 amps is where I think most code and programs are going to land in terms of installing EV chargers circuits, right, on the breaker. And I strongly believe that you can do two cars overnight at double the average driving distance, you know, commuting distance. So most people drive 50 miles a day, right? Something like that. And so when you sort of extrapolate that out, I'm charging mine, and I drive 25,000 miles a year. I'm charging mine at 15 amps, which is half of my, a little bit more than half of my capability on my 30 amp circuit. You can do two cars on 40 amps, no problem. Smooth out that demand. It's better for your bill. It's better for the utility grid. It's better for the sort of ease on the system. It's just better in a lot of ways, and it's completely doable.
Robbie, that sounds pragmatic.
Yeah, it's totally pragmatic. That's a great point. But what's not pragmatic is what we're seeing the jurisdictions require for all electrification. So from your perspective, why are we seeing the jurisdictions feel like we need that 400 amp panel?
Well, what do they say about codes, right? All the lines and codes are written in blood or something like that, right? So there's reasons, there's important reasons why those were decided on recently or in the far past, right? We've known a lot of numbers and formulas for a long, long time, but a lot of those haven't been updated. So when you were looking at the calculations, the engineered calculations, which were absolutely viable, correct, reasonable back in the day, as we've moved towards Energy Star appliances, as we've moved towards better envelopes and LED lighting and heat pumps and not electric resistance, et cetera, and so on, we've opened up a large margin of capability on that panel. And so I talk with folks working with an engineer and the utility company and a NGO up in the Aspen area right now, right? And the engineer is saying, well, it's got to be this. And the folks that are talking about heat pumps and seeing heat pumps and applying heat pumps in the market, they're like, yeah, but. And so we're challenged. We're struggling against this new paradigm requiring numbers, old values, right? They're those rules of thumb that are copy-paste from decades past. I love a good rule of thumb, but those rules of thumb need to be updated. And as Joe Medosh, our friend, glommed onto, he and I were talking, and he's like, yeah, it's thumb 2.0.
Yeah. Also, it seems like they're requiring a worst-case scenario modeling or a worst-case scenario endeavor of planning for, which happens, well, in your case, it hasn't happened, you know.
It hasn't happened.
And so that that leads to potentially the thumb rule of thumb 2.0.
And I have to say, it's not just my house. I've got several clients that have allowed me to see their energy use on their employees as well. And I've done the same thing on theirs. 200 amp panel in Leadville, Colorado, heat pump, all electric. I don't think they have a car charger in there, but to be fair, and their max amperage on a 200 amp panel is, I want to say it's in the high 30s, or maybe it's 42 amps or something like that.
So I'm hearing a lot of potential waste, right, of trying to find what is the happy medium. And I think to do that, when I'm listening to the different stories you're talking about, is that we have to figure out how to meet in the middle on that stuff, right? And so I've seen you at every BS and Beer I've been to. So I would consider Sean a lifelong learner, and that's why I really wanted to push him to be on the podcast. Why do you attend, and why should others attend?
Well, first off, I attend because it's interesting. It speaks to me. It's, you know, it's a new toy in the sandbox, right? And you and I were chatting previously about where do you spend your time? How do you suss out of all the choices of the onslaught of media that we deal with every day in our modern world? How do you choose amongst all that? For me, I'm not a big social media guy. I've got LinkedIn. I use it as a professional platform, shall we say. I sort of laugh and not support. I don't like the comments that are about, look what I'm doing today. That's not really a professional conversation. Sure. or moving people forward in a professional manner. But I do show up. I work, 60 to 90 hours a week because I want to be, I want to show up. I want to be there for people that ask questions, make a connection, look for the opportunity, but really just share information that can help people build better together.
Yeah. And one of the things you like to share information about are heat pumps.
Absolutely.
That's a part of your profession. Old job there as well, but we're seeing that heat pumps are becoming all the craze in our industry right now. So can you tell us a little bit? First of all, maybe we should explain what a heat pump is real quick.
Sure.
And then second, tell us why you think it's becoming so popular.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows everybody has a heat pump, and they just might not know that they have a heat pump. Like your refrigerator, it's pumping heat out of the freezer and out of the fridge to the outside the box. That is literally just pumping heat. It moves in one direction. The other heat pump that most people have is an air conditioner, right? So it's pumping heat out of the house to the outside in the summer. That's really all that's happening. It's what do they say? The technology sufficiently advanced is indiscernible from magic or whatever, right? Well, it does seem like magic, but really it's just finding the right medium of exchange, right? So it's not, we use water and we boil it. We get steam, and we do a lot of work in civilization with steam. And we'll freeze water, and we do a lot of work with ice, right? It's that change in phase, water to liquid to steam and liquid to solids. And when you change phase, there's a lot of hidden heat, and that's all we're really dealing with in a heat pump. Instead of using water, we're really using a refrigerant that boils at something like negative 60 Fahrenheit, right? So it's a vapor for all intents and purposes. But when we take that and we pressurize it down, now we can manage the temperature and pressure around that refrigerant, and we can capture heat and put it to where we want. We're pumping heat from where we don't want it to where we do want it.
Yeah,
there is the simplification that I needed to hear. We're pumping heat where we don't want it to another place.
Yeah. That's right.
And just to tie it back to one of our other episodes, we talked about the simplicity of building science. Control and predictability again. Now you have control and predictability of where you're pumping energy from one place to the other place in a specific manner.
And not just control and predictability, which are awesome, just like filter, like air quality, right? It's a source control, etc. But now we get the efficiencies involved in that phase change. So we're gonna, on a heat pump, you're gonna put in one unit of energy. and you're going to get 2 or 3 or 4 units of energy out of it. But people think that that's impossible. How do you get over 100% efficient? Well, think about a pulley, right? Think about a lever. You apply pressure on one end and you can lift 2 or 3 or 4 times as much on the other end. It's the same basic principle.
Yeah. And you have to have platforms or products behind that are helping innovate this stuff. And I'm when you hear about heat pumps and the different tools, Mitsubishi usually comes to mind because they're one of the leaders in that. And I'm assuming that's why you went to work for Mitsubishi, because your passion is figuring out to take this simplified part that can get complicated. And how do you figure out the sources of truth? Can you talk a little bit about how Mitsubishi takes what we said, okay, this is a heat pump. Mm-hmm. What are some tools and things they execute in that industry?
Well, I'll start with just the experience of standing in front of or feeling a heat pump and how it works, right? For you in windows and doors, like, it's hard to explain mean radiant temperature that you can feel better in front of a better, glass pack or whatever, right? Until they're there and they feel it, they're like, oh, all right, now I get it. So having an individual experience it is the game changer.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why we call our showroom out here our experience centers. And it's hard to experience the comfort part of it when you just have a bunch of different displays, but it's experiences a lot of different ways of aesthetics, how big it is, all those different things, right?
Yeah. One thing too, the myth or the challenge that we're facing in major sort of upheaval in the HVAC and the heating and cooling industry right now is there's a lot of contractors, there's a lot of builders, a lot of architects, a lot of folks that have had bad experiences with heat pumps, right? Heat pumps, your grandpa's heat pump, right? Yeah. And what is different now, I would say the main difference in the technology is what's called an inverter-based heat pump, right? So think of if you had a car that was front-wheel drive or single-wheel drive or something like that, and you've had that for your whole life, you drove it when you were a kid and you've had it for most of your adult life, and now somebody comes out with all-wheel drive. Whoa, wait, what are we talking about here? Yeah. Right? Yeah, you can drive that front-wheel drive in the snow, in the mountains, or what have you, but all-wheel drive in the mountains is a game changer. You put studded tires or traction control, et cetera, and so on that all-wheel drive, it's just a completely different reality. And I would say that's akin to the difference between the old heat pump technology and the newer inverter-based heat pump technology.
Wouldn't there another advancement is the cold climate heat pump? Can you explain the difference between cold climate and non-cold climate?
Yeah, for sure. It seems simple, but there's a lot of dollars in the details, right? Cold climate heat pump is effectively a heat pump that is purpose built to handle cold temperatures down to, say, 100% capacity, down to 5 degrees or thereabouts. Newer heat pumps are getting even better than that. You're going to start seeing heat pumps that are 100% at -5 degrees Fahrenheit. You're going to start seeing heat pumps that are 100% at -11 and possibly beyond. So it's really about the engineering and the getting better, right? So the innovation, not innovating in a vacuum, but innovating on top of standing on the shoulder of others, right? The difference between a standard heat pump and a cold climate heat pump is really that a standard heat pump is going to start to lose capacity around 40 degrees, 30 degrees, something along those lines. And a cold climate heat pump, I would say a high efficiency heat pump is probably going to hold through, say, 10 degrees or something like that. And maybe 20, something like that. And then a true cold climate heat pump is not only going to deliver 100% capacity at 5 degrees, but it's going to be able to operate much lower as well, down to the negative teens, the negative 20s. I've watched cold climate heat pumps operate at negative 27 personally, and I've heard about them operating at negative 30. So we're trying to extend the capabilities with those heat pumps past the general need. so that you generally won't need a backup system. You can choose one if you want to, but really think of it as maybe it's supplement. Maybe it's a little bit added in to cap things off at -5, right? You've given up a little bit of capacity and now you have a little bit of resistance heat coming in.
And a lot of the big takeaway I'm hearing from all this is that 80-20 rule. What is the mid band as we're trying to figure out climb and change? If we're looking out there, as I'm pumped to go snowboard, except we've only got one storm all year and the temperature has been very mild, right? So you're hearing -5. Like, how often does that happen and how much do you spend? What is the best way to deal with the variances of the norm? That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, for sure. That inverter based system, first and foremost, is part of why you want it. The ability for it to adjust. Think of the accelerator pedal in your car. You're not stomping on the accelerator all the time and then stomping on the gas or on the brake, right? That's, some people do it, but it's not a very efficient way to do it, right?
It's not the right way to do it.
It's like, it could be done better. Let's say that, right? So
learn by doing, right? I think about when I first got my car, it's like how you race off and then you realize how hard that is on things, you know?
Right. Exactly. There's all sorts of reasons not to do it, shall we say, right? And so when you can look at the area that you're building in, right? The house where it has been for 50 years or where it's going to be, you know, next year when it's built, there's temperature designs around that. So in Denver, or Front Range, it's somewhere around 0 degrees Fahrenheit, right? Up in the mountains, it might be -10, or maybe it's -17 or something along those lines in those cold spaces, cold places. So looking at that data, looking at how often is it that cold? There's other things like heating degree days, et cetera, and so on. But I think a simple way to think about it is, what percentage of the year is it that cold temperature or worse?
Right.
And generally 1% is the target, sort of I would say it's a general reference. There's a lot of folks that will go a little bit past that to what's called the 99.6, which is another metric that's captured by ASHRAE, ASHRAE fundamentals, et cetera. So, and those temperatures are changing.
Yeah, I think to kind of take us back to where we began, heat pumps use electricity, but they use electricity to move heat from one location to the other location. So in this, how much electricity do they actually use? And I think you're demonstrating with your own personal house that they're not using as much electricity as you might have thought. And then also, can you tie in the need for specific heat pumps or backup energy in an existing home versus a new home?
Sure. Yeah. So some examples of, let's say watts, right? Or kilowatts. I would figure a whole house heat pump would be, depending on the size of the house, et cetera, where it's at, I would figure somewhere between 2.5 kilowatts to say 7.5 is pretty common, maybe 7, maybe 8, depending on whether it's a full, you know, 4-ton or 5-ton heat pump kind of a thing. But you're using those kilowatt hours to handle the 99%. So it's mostly not going to run at that, right? So that's where a lot of the efficiency people talk about setting back the thermostat and say, well, you set it back during the day when you're at work or when you're sleeping or what have you, to save energy. Well, that's on a typical single speed or two speed system. Now with the inverter based system, you're actually better off just leaving the temperature and let the inverter do its job. Let the inverter modulate and move around the temperature as needed. It's actually more efficient that way,
which is a lot easier to manage than this smart home that all these gadgets and they don't work. And then you're doing all these other stuff anyway. It's an easier thing to manage.
You asked about backup systems in terms of existing homes. Is that right, Robbie?
Yeah.
So the typical existing envelope, right? You have the building shell. When I say shell, it's the roof, the walls, the windows, the floors, the doors, etc. The building shell sets the pace for the heating demand, right? The heating requirement to maintain temperature inside. And so older homes, whether they be brick or poorly insulated, et cetera, they are going to have a higher heating load and they're going to have more requirements to maintain that set point, maintain that comfort for the homeowner. Dollars are in the details. Thinking about how to do a little bit more math, right? Thinking about how to apply a technology that's a little bit different than what we're used to. That's where the opportunities are, right? How to differentiate as a professional, say, yep, I know how to do that additional bit of math and I can do it quickly and you're going to get a better outcome.
So, yeah. So there's really the right solution for the right house, the right envelope that you're approaching right there.
Yeah. And thinking about just back to the backup heat, some houses aren't going to need it, period. Mine doesn't need it. And I've proven it. And there's lots of others that don't. Some houses will need some, and some houses will need a lot. But I will say that heat pumps can do the work on any of these buildings. The question is, cost, right? So it's about balancing and value engineering around cost as well.
Yeah. So using the language of the master facilitator, you really are facilitating helping local HVAC contractors understand heat pumps and get familiar with them. You also are involved with a lot of other groups out there where you're getting the word out. So where else are you getting that word out?
Yeah. Mitsubishi's done a great job with the performance construction team, and we've been out there working with building professionals, interfacing a lot with EEBC, right? Energy and Environmental Building Business Coalition. Yep. And that's a Colorado organization. And then there's EEBA, EBA, which is a national, even international organization, I guess. And that's Energy Efficient Business or Building Alliance. Thank you.
And there's to keep up with all the acronyms, right?
Alphabet soup. And just really, really good, motivated, interested, smart groups of people that are out there trying to make create the change that we need to see, right? And Housing Innovation Alliance, I would say, is more akin to production builders, and they are really pushing the envelope. There's some amazing innovation coming through the Housing Innovation Alliance, and actually we have a connection to them here in Denver with University of Denver and Eric Holt and such, a great team.
Yeah, and we're very involved in that. This morning we had a meeting on, we're going to be doing different meetups around the Housing Innovation Alliance. So make sure you reach out to us and anybody in the Art of Construction Master Facilitator community. We're going to be having a lot around that. And it's a great place to have different perspectives come, but it's really great having Eric Holt and the team at Denver that right here. So yeah. Make sure if you're in Denver, you're getting involved.
Can I give a couple more quick plugs?
Sure.
Green Builder Media, amazing group for sure. They put out excellent vetted information. There's some good conversations around, you know, pros and cons on that they try to dig into, as well as Professional Builder, et cetera, right? Yep. So a lot of the builder professionals that are out there looking at these various media sources, they're starting to see the messaging around heat pumps, around electrification, around, all right, we keep hearing that we should do this, but let's understand the details, how,
yeah,
why,
and being
how.
At Robbie's event with BS and Beer, you better start paying attention because this is what's being mandated.
Absolutely.
So it's not really a choice anymore. So you better start listening and understand how
Absolutely.
This works.
The last thing I was curious about, Sean, is really how are you bringing contractors along with you in this ride? Because the codes are starting to ask for it, and the organizations that you're going to are offering all this training and whatnot, but it still seems like the base contractor, the HVAC contractor, the custom builder, even the production builders are reluctant to jump in.
I was thinking about this and I'm going to reflect on the value chain for a minute, right? So there's a lot of work ahead of anything that the builder touches or deals with, right? And it could be the materials, it could be the information, it could be the design, et cetera, and so on. You could have a great design, great intentions, great engineering, great products, bad implementation, and you have a bad outcome. or at least 100%. Not meeting the
and expectations. Then all the front, all the tee up work all goes to shame.
Yeah. So how do we bring the builder? We have to engage with the builder, with the contractor, with the information and the architect and the engineer, right? So it's multiple conversations along that sort of building value chain, if you will. And that's, I mean, it's fun, it's challenging, and some people get upset when you challenge them, right?
And you should, and that's the disruption part. We have to lean into this. This is the Art of Construction Master Facilitators to say there is no silver bullet or one sort to say I'm a builder and I only do it this way. It's just not reality. So you have to be able to have this team to be able to vertically integrate is the future. And that's a lot of the talking points. And also, Sean, I want to make sure you're talking a little bit about what I've really as learning through your conversation practices is that you're always talking about, okay, I'm testing this on my house. Mitsubishi's doing this, of this form and form function theory and reality. Mm-hmm. And we always talk about closing the gap on theory and reality. Robbie, you're always talking about let's go to the production homes and figure out the masses. But then, you know, we were talking about that custom project, and you're like, how do you do that with all that glass and all that, you know, like how to meet this theory and reality. What is your take on that?
Well, back to the speed round. This is why it's my hobby. I'm just genuinely curious about how to make it work so that I can be a better advisor and fiduciary and teacher, right? So to talk through the details and say, it's going to work like this. I believe it might be a little different. Let's check it. Let's test it. Here's the math. Here's the numbers. Here's the specifications. Oh, wait, we got the wrong specification. Let's change this model number, right?
I think we've built so much garbage on top of garbage that it takes people like you both to really look at it and say, you know, we have to put our thumb on this, but a 2.0 way to do that. And that's hard to get all those people to move from that, right? What their source of reality is.
Right. Yep.
Great. So Sean and myself, we're going to be joining the Master Facilitator community to start meeting more people in the community and hopefully help move our industry forward there. So with that in mind, Sean, what's your crystal ball for the future of technology and construction?
I'm a closet futurist, so I like seeing all sorts of great technologies come out. There's some amazing ideas that are just like, wow, I love that. I want to see more of that. But bringing it back to theory and closing the gap and being profitable, I would say as a builder, as a building professional, work with your supplier, work with your distributor, if you are a builder, work with your contractor to engage with the distributor so that you know that you're getting the right information. You've got the right training from the manufacturers. You've got the right details. Maybe there's some amazing tools that can speed up your process, right? That can help you value engineer quickly. That to me is one of the best ways for a building professional, not a building job person, but a building professional to elevate their game.
Yeah. It really seems like being able to take advantage of all the new technology, you need to really incorporate that integrated design process and design, and not even design, but build process, because everything's getting stripped apart. Everybody's getting individualized into specific categories of what they bring to the project. And we don't have that one contractor that takes it from foundation through finished carpentry yet and then brings in all that technology. So we have to take advantage of all these people.
Yeah.
So well said. Bill Allen, we just had him for the second time, and he educated me on what he calls the data drop chasm. We are in such a tough place of version 1.0 to 2.0, and then having a meeting of saying, okay, this is what we know today. This is what they're telling us it needs to be tomorrow. How do we bridge that gap, right? And you better be a master facilitator of bridging that gap, because that's how you're going to become a trusted partner of moving this thing forward. And that's hard to do. So you have to figure out how to put all that stuff together, right? And the question that we end and we always ask to the riches and the niches. And that's when I was going down this journey with Robbie. I was like, I really want to begin with the end in mind of like cast a big net through BS and beer, but then coming into our local who and what, and then talking through different things, but then kind of the riches and the niches to say, it's not your grandpa's heat pump anymore. There's options for this, and talking through. And I really appreciated the how you simplified to then multiply this whole thing, right? And Robbie, what a journey it's been on. And I think I'd end it and then put this last question for you to close it out here, Robbie. But it's been an honor to go on this energy diet with you as we launch this new year, as Sean said, because I think that's how we have to look at this. Like, there's not some silver bullet that's just going to change it all overnight. The news kind of tells you that, but that's not how it actually works. It's these paradigm shifts of how do you eat an elephant, one pizza and one little BS and building science at a time, right? And it's taking those things to where you didn't become the influencers that you are from just showing up one day. It was over and over and over and figuring that stuff out. So we're honored at the Art of Construction to have you guys here stepping up and leading this and helping us all look at how to do this energy dive. But the last question we always ask, Sean, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about if they go out there and crush it to grow their business?
Yeah, the one thing is check it, test it yourself, right? So I know that they're doing it every day, but it is even more critical now these days with the rapid pace of change that they're facing. And, you know, double check your spec. It can make the difference between success and failure with how quickly and how disaggregated and how siloed everybody is. Working with that distributor to get the right information. And I just a little idea to share with people, as a builder, contemplate what would it take to offer a 10-year warranty on your house, right? Just put yourself in that mindset. I'm not saying that you have to, I'm not saying you should. I'm saying, I think it would change the mindset if you were to treat the product that you're providing your customer with a 10-year warranty mindset. And what opportunities would that open up for you? Imagine if you could nail that, how sticky that customer would be. All their friends, all those stars that are popping up, right? 5-star reviews, et cetera, and so on. It's a mindset, and I think a physical long-term opportunity that some builders are starting to look at.
Yeah. Some days can be long, but the years are short, right? And if you're building better buildings, then that's something you should be having a mindset. Sean, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. Robbie, bring us home on this journey.
Well, again, I really appreciate you. And I'm just going to take Sean's comment back to one of our other episodes because it really talks about how do you build a brand? Remember, we talked about builders don't have a brand, but and part of the reason is that they build it and they're gone. They're gone to the next project. They're not involved in that 10-year process with it. And if you're involved in that 10-year process, you're brand building. You're going to say, I'm involved in this house. I'm involved in this community. And I'm involved with the people that I'm actually building for there.
Well, it's an honor to build our brands together. Mitsubishi, Build Tank, Mountain View Window and Door, Art of Construction, Master Facilitators. It takes a tribe, right? Thanks for leading the tribe, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, one more thing, Art of Construction. We are so excited to be attending and recording podcasts after the Advancing Prefabrication Summit right here in Denver, Colorado, my hometown, February 26th through the 29th. Advancing Prefabrication is North America's definitive end-to-end conference dedicated to building faster, more safely, and to a higher quality through prefab and modular, which we talk regularly about on the podcast as system-built construction through the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. We will be discussing cutting-edge prefab applications, moving away from the what and the why to the how to support your goals for optimizing every project phase from project setup through manufacturing to installation. Join the who's who of the prefab and modular industry and leave with the highly sought after connections you need to not only develop prefabrication capabilities in your own organization, but as a global construction community as well. The Art of Construction Master Facilitators are all coming together across these 4 days of workshops, presentations, panel discussions, and audience roundtables. you'll experience unparalleled learning and networking opportunities for your entire team. So no matter what your role is, your rank, or community maturity, you can be part of the conversation and ensure your business is firmly on the map. Join us and take the next step of revolutionized implementation of prefabrication across your projects and programs. The best part about all this is being an Art of Construction Master Facilitator and listener of the podcast. In the show notes, you can check it out, or simply when you check out, it's all over the internet, Advanced Prefab in Denver. You can get a discounted pass by entering the promo code PODCAST10, all caps, PODCAST10 in checkout. And then we can follow up and have the podcast after the event and get you access to the Art of Construction Master Facilitators program to keep the conversation going and move system-built construction forward. And we're honored to do that with Advanced Prefabrication. Crush it out there.